Okay, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the Passpoint class. And it's really awesome to come in here and just hang out, laugh, have a good time. I'm looking forward to Saturday and, getting together, eating a bunch of food and just the fellowship aspect, Lord. Without, the fellowship of other believers, we would really struggle. I personally would really struggle. And so, Lord, you know that that's, something that is good for us. And, I do thank you for Philip and Meredith and everything that they've done to, take off and run with the events this year for Passpoint. And I thank you for the people showing up. And, God, we know that you're doing something, not just in the class, but in the church. And too often we get really busy in ministry, and it's always the next thing. It's something, we've got to do and we've got to do. And Lord, I pray that we don't get so caught up in the things that we're doing that we miss on, the people that we're doing it with. And so, God, it's just a really awesome group of people. And so I pray you just speak to us today as we jump back into the book of Jonah. We're rapidly approaching the end of the book, and just give us wisdom as we get the last things pulled out of this thing, and that you would just convict us, try our hearts, Lord. Some of these things, you would think as you get towards the end of the book, it would be, easier. But some of these things are just really trying to a Christian. And so I pray that you would convict us, don't allow us to be, too overly convicted. But at the same time, Lord, if the shoe fits, we need to grow in you. So I pray you'd speak to us today. Put me out of the way. Allow it to be your words in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Jonah. I was telling Steve a minute ago, he was asking, was I going to be able to make Jonah last until the end of the year? And I don't think it'll be the end of the year. I actually think that...
It'll be early next year.
Yeah, it may be. I really think that we will be done with Jonah next week, maybe. Or at least through the verses. I may take one more week and do like a final recap. But that gets us into December. And so we'll have a little bit of, I don't want to call it filler, but we'll have some, filler weeks, some Christmas stuff maybe. And then I think I know where we're going in January. And so, if you're looking for somewhere to maybe be reading to get ahead of the game, maybe start reading the book of Acts is what I'll tell you. So I think that's where we're going. God could obviously change that, but, and so just so you know, Jonah took us, almost a year. And it's four chapters, so the book of Acts is pretty big. It'll obviously go a little different, but I think that's where we're going. So, just so you know. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up to Jonah. And so every week, I give you a title, and then we don't really ever go back to the title. But if you're looking for a title, it's God's Great Circumstances today. God's Great Circumstances. And so, the book of Jonah, and I'm not going to do too much recap. God says, hey, I want you to go. He's like, nah, I don't think I'm going to. God's like, okay, if that's what you want to do. And then eventually, he realizes very quickly that, I think God really wants me to do that. And, he ends up in the fish's belly. He repents. God allows him to get out of the fish's belly. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches. He does the worst job that he can trying to get the gospel to these people. He's doing the least amount of what he can do in ministry. Somebody may, relate to that. I hope not. But, sometimes we go into ministry and we're like, I'm here. I'm doing what I have to do and I'm leaving. Don't talk to me. That's kind of what Jonah was in Nineveh. And so anyway, he goes and what happens? God blesses it. And, the people get saved. And, they repent, they turn, and the book could end there. I told you that last week. Really, the book could have ended at that point. God said go. It was the story of God changing his heart and, his mindset to actually, submit and obey. And, the people get saved. The book could have ended there, and it would have made sense. But God had a point for chapter 4, and he was trying to show us some things in chapter 4 even. And so I told you last week that Jonah pictured a couple things. Does anyone remember what I told you that Jonah pictures in chapter 4? The actual man Jonah. I said that he pictured something. The Bible is full of types and pictures. The carnal Christian is basically where I was getting to, yes. Because a carnal Christian was the second one. The first one is, it's a little more wordy, but he pictures a Christian with a bad heart for the lost world. Now, I understand that Jonah isn't a Christian. He's a Jew. This was before the age of grace. I understand all of that. But what I'm telling you is the Old Testament is a picture for what's happening in the New Testament, right? And so you'll start to see that all these stories that happen in the Old Testament, they picture something that God is going to do in the New Testament. So he is a picture of a Christian who has a really bad heart for the lost world. And then basically that leads to what we would just call a simple carnal Christian. A Christian who, is just all about them. And so I told you something about carnality last week multiple times, over and over again. I said, carnality is what? It's a choice. Carnality is a choice. Too often Christians walk around with this bad attitude, with this woe is me, blah, blah, blah. You know, you fill in the blank. You're choosing to be carnal. Carnality is absolutely a choice. It's not just something that happens. I would definitely get some food before you sit down because it's really good. So anyway, if you're listening online, I guess you can't get any food. But anyway, so yes, carnality is a choice. And so getting into today, have you ever heard, and I know you have, but have you ever heard the phrase, somebody was a victim to their circumstance, right? You know, somebody's a victim to their circumstance. And we say that all the time in, you know, in whatever. And so what does that mean? When you hear that, what does that mean? Somebody give me just a, what does that mean when you hear that? Not everybody at once.
Because you're born into a circumstance, you are the way that you are, you can't change it.
Okay, that's one way to look at it, because you're born into it. Basically, you are, because things are the way that they are, there's nothing that you can do to change it. There's nothing that you can do. The outcome is a foregone conclusion. Really doesn't matter. Holly's rolling her eyes back there. I don't know if it's to me or something else. So I just happened to scan the room and she's... Anyway. No. But no, that's people think. They think, well, there's nothing I can do. Blah, blah, blah. It's just a foregone conclusion. I'm just a victim to my circumstance. Okay, so what does that word even mean? Like the word circumstance, though. You know, what does that even mean? A definition for the word circumstance is a fact or condition connected with or relevant to an event or action. So basically cause and effect. You know, basically things are the way they are because of something that happened. Okay? And that makes sense as far as the way that we understand the word circumstance. And I promise I'm going somewhere with this, right? It will make sense in a minute. So, but I want to let you know that there's two types of circumstances in the world. There are the cause and effect types of circumstances, right? So the first type of circumstance, there are circumstances that are related to your choices, right? If you chose to sleep with that person, then maybe the baby is an effect of your choice, right? And that's just a large example. What I'm saying is there are circumstances in your life that come from your choices. Well, because I chose to do this, now I have this responsibility, right? Whatever it is. And, you know, you can fill in the blank. But what I'm saying is there are some things that we're like, oh, well, these are my circumstances. Well, they're your circumstances because you, like, it's your bed. You have to lay in it. I didn't make that choice for you. I'm going to tell you what you should do now that you made that choice. But, you know, it's no surprise, right? We were talking to somebody the other day. Paige and I have always been, you know, the super young people until all of a sudden we're not the super young people, right? All of a sudden we're not young anymore. We were talking to Austin and Lauren. And the reason that it always seemed like that in our mind is because when we were in our young 20s, we had 3 kids. And so, in general, we hung out with the people who had kids our age. Well, not everybody has 3 kids when you're, you know, 21 years old. And, you know, we could have played the circumstance card and woe is us and this, that, or the other. We don't have any money. At the end of the day, those were circumstances related to our choices. Were they the wisest choices? I mean, probably not. Would I change it? At this point, probably not. But, you know, at some point, it is what it is. But there are circumstances in life that are directly related to you, right? You can't just say you're a victim to your circumstance because you made the choice to get to there. But then there's also another type of circumstances, and they are completely unrelated to your choices, right? I'm trying to rough a house in. It's supposed to rain 2 inches tomorrow. There's really, other than praying, there's nothing that I can do about the fact that it's going to rain. Those are circumstances, right? You can't change certain things. They just are the way that they are. You know, and that's just a weather analogy, but you can fill in the blank. There are some things that you can't control. You know, you can't control the choice that somebody else is going to make. That is a circumstance in your life. You know, you get married, and at some point, your spouse may decide, you know what, I'm out on this Christianity thing, I'm out on this marriage thing, and that's a really large example, but at some point, you're a victim to that circumstance, okay? You didn't get to make that choice, okay? Now, maybe you could have made choices leading up to that wouldn't have, anyway, not saying. So anyway, with the first, you know, circumstance, it's directly related to your choice. It's simply cause and effect. Nobody to blame but yourself if it's a bad situation, a bad circumstance. But with the second, you have no control over the what's going on. But you know what? And here's where I'm really getting to with this. You do have a decision to make, right? You may have had nothing, you may have had nothing to do with how it got there, but you have a decision to make. How are you going to react to the situation? Now, this is where some Christians, they really just get blown out of the water, right? You mean I can choose to have a good attitude in a bad situation? You mean I can choose to do the right thing even though it's really hard to do? You mean I can do? Yeah, absolutely, you can. I understand. Maybe it has nothing to do with the choices that you made to get there. But what I am saying is you get to decide how you're going to react. You get to make that choice. So what's the point, right? Because I just gave you a long dissertation on circumstances, and you're like, how does that relate to Jonah at all? We still haven't even got into the Bible. Well, I'm glad you asked. That's what Brian would say. There's three types of circumstances that God allows in our lives, and that's what we're going to get into today, right? Three types of circumstances that God allows in our lives, and that's what we're going to look at today. Jonah chapter 4. I'll read from the beginning because it's only a few verses and we'll get to where we're going. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled when I was yet in my country, or therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Woe is me." Right? It's the worst thing ever. And this is what God says. I really like the way he finishes it, and this is what we talked about last week. "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Is it really a good thing for you to have this pity party going on?" And go back and listen to last week, because I really tied that thing in, or at least it worked in my life. So hopefully it worked for somebody else too. But anyway, God says, are you really in the right mind to feel like you're the victim here? That's basically what God's asking. And then we get into today's stuff. Verse 5. So Jonah, after God says, are you sure that you've got the right heart about this? He could have been like, you know what, God? No, I don't. I need to repent. But instead, obviously by his actions, he's like, yes, I am very well right to be throwing a fit. And that's what he does. Now, that's what we do. We get mad, we think we're right, and we stomp out of the room, and, you know, that's just what we do. So Jonah went out of the city, in verse 5, and sat on the east side of the city, and there he made him a booth. Right? So he makes him a little shelter. He's sitting on the east side of the city, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to watch and see what happens. Maybe God will get his heart right, and he'll destroy these people like he should have in the first place. That's what he's thinking, right? That's what he's thinking, and I want a front row seat to what's getting ready to happen. No repentance in my life. I'm going to... And it says he goes and he makes a booth. He sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, right? Like a big squash or something. I don't know. And he made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He's like, God finally is doing something for me. He's taking care of me. He owed me this, right? I did what he told me to do. That's what he says. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than live. He is just, man, he's going through it, right? God's like, you know what? If this is how you want to be, if this is the road you want to go down, let's go, son, right? And some of us, as Christians, we get in this mindset where this is definitely how it needs to be. And then God says, you know what? If this is the road you want to go down, let's go. Right? You let me know when enough is enough. That's basically what God is saying. And so there's three types of circumstances that God allows in this passage. Wherever it's at. I lost it. Yeah. Okay. So the first one. We would call these blessings, right? The first type of circumstances that God will allow in your life, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because you guys should know enough about blessings as it is, but the first thing is God allows blessings. It says God prepared a gourd, right? Okay, so I don't know if this was like a giant pumpkin. I don't know what it was, but it was something big enough, and God allowed it to grow super fast, and it just basically shades him. It gives him all the things. You know, this one's pretty simple as far as blessings go. I think you guys understand what a blessing is. When God allows something to happen that we like, or it fits into our quote-unquote plans, and we're like, yes, thank you, God. Well, maybe that's what we do, right? But it happens, and we're, oh, it's a blessing, right? And, you know, they want you to say the blessing, and, we call those good things in our life. God made Jonah a gourd to give him shade and to deliver him from his grief. But what does Jonah do? You know, he could have been like, you know what, God? Thanks. My heart's been bad about this whole thing, and here you are still yet taking care of me, right? Even when I'm in, you know, I got a bad heart, I got a bad attitude, everything that I'm doing is probably not the right thing. I've been wrong in this entire situation, and you've been nothing but good to me. And here it is, you're just continually taking care of me, right? Maybe in your life you've come across something like this, and you just realize, but what does he do? You know, it doesn't say he's like, oh, God, thanks so much, right? Thank you. That's not what he says. It says that he was exceeding glad of the gourd. He wasn't exceeding glad of who gave him the gourd. He wasn't exceeding glad of the reason that the blessing came along. It just says that he was exceeding glad. That's it. No, you know, hey, thanks, God. I appreciate you caring for me. You know, thanks for helping me out. Thanks for taking care of me. Thanks for providing for me. You know, all of the things that, you know, we just take for granted, that we just expect in our life. You know, oh, well, yeah, obviously you have to give me a job. Obviously you have to allow me to make money so I can pay my bill. God provides those things, right? And a lot of times we just don't ever. Can I tell you that most Christians aren't much different than Jonah? I say most Christians because you guys all have this figured out, so I'm just, you know, talking to whoever's listening online. But, you know, most Christians, they're not much different than Jonah. God allows blessings in our lives, and there's no thanksgiving. There's no recognition of his caring for your needs. There's nothing. You know, the best that he might get is, you know, oh, thanks God for doing this. You know, just a real quick and passing, oh, well, yeah, we're praying because it's time to eat, so that's when we pray. And, you know, I'll throw a thanks up there for God. But that's nothing. We've become, and I say we, I'm talking about the other Christians who are like this, not you guys. We've become like spoiled children who've come to expect, not just, we expect it. We expect God's blessing, and when it doesn't happen, then that's when we say something. That's when we throw a fit. That's when we, it's now an expectation that God's just supposed to give us everything that we want, right? And if the blessings stop coming, then all of a sudden that's when we want to, oh God, you must be, you know, you forgot about me, right? We feel as like God owes us, and we don't thank him when the blessings do come, and we throw a fit if they don't. And that's what we're like spoiled little children in our Christianity, right? If God's going to give blessings in your life, you've got to be quick to think where they came from, right? And I think it's interesting that God doesn't just immediately bring the rod down on Jonah. He first gives him one last chance. I'll just take care of you. Even in your bad circumstance, Jonah, you know what I'll do? I'll just help you out. It's going to be hot up there. I'll give you some shade. You know, and even up until this point, Jonah could have said, you know what, God? Thanks. I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm just going to be like, you know what? I was wrong. Again, you were right. Again, I'm just going to follow. But no, that's not what he does. He's super happy that the gourd's there, the blessing in my life. Yeah, I'm the circumstance is great, God. But I never any appreciation at all. Right? Now, we think that in, you know, a godly sense. We're like, oh, well, obviously God knows that I'm thankful. Well, most of you in here are married. If your spouse continually ministers to you, and continually takes care of you, and continually, you know, does those things, and you never, ever are like, hey, thanks, babe. I love you. Thank you. I really appreciate you. Any of those things. At some point, they're going to become like, well, am I just doing this because? Right? And yes, you should do it just because if you're that spouse. But what I'm saying is, it's no different. It's not that hard to be like, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing in my life. Right? I really appreciate you for who you are. Right? Not that God has to hear it, but man, I'm telling you, he likes to hear it when you're like, hey, God, I really appreciate you just continually raining blessings down on my life, continually taking care of us, continually blessing everything that we do. But too often, we're just like Jonah. Yeah, I'm really happy about the circumstance, but who created the circumstance? I don't know. That's where we're at. Okay, so that's pretty basic. Blessings. Everybody knows what a blessing is. But that's really not what the point of the story is. The next type of circumstance that God will allow in your life is what we might call a trying circumstance, right? This isn't all out. Well, anyway, we'll get there. It's a trying circumstance. In the next verse, in verse 7, it says that, but God prepared a worm. Well, that's interesting. When the morning rose the next day. So he gave Jonah an entire day to, you know, appreciate what had happened. Nothing. But it says that, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Right? So now the gourd that Jonah did absolutely nothing to get is now gone, and it's God's fault, That's how he looks at it. It's gone and it's God's fault. This is what we would call a trying circumstance. Jonah has this gourd for shade, but God allows a worm to remove the blessing. Right? God allows, right? Remember back, there was a time Mark Trotter was here preaching and he said that God will either allow or appoint every circumstance in your life, right? And so you get to decide if the chastisement in your life is allowed or if it's appointed, right? I would encourage you to make sure that it's not appointed, because that's typically something that you did, and that's basically a spanking. It's like with your kids. You don't just decide one day that, you know what, I'm going to give you a spanking just for good measure. No, usually there's a reason that we do that, and, you know, it's to grow them, right? And so anyway, it's a trying circumstance. A trying circumstance is not God putting you through the fire, by the way. It's not like the hardest thing in the world. It's not like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest thing that I'm ever going to do in my Christian life and I've got to get to. That's not what a trying circumstance is, you know, by the way. It's simply showing you what life without His blessing is like. Sometimes God will allow you to see what life without the blessing is like. Just real quick to be like, you know, don't think of it in the sense of God's like, I'm going to show you something. But if you're just going to be ungrateful for everything that God does, don't be surprised if He's like, okay, well, I guess let's see what it's like without my continual blessing. You know, and which one would you rather have? You know, God will allow that to happen. God didn't take anything from Jonah that He didn't first provide, by the way, right? He didn't take anything from Jonah that He didn't give him in the first place. It wasn't like, you know, He decided, you know what, Jonah, I'm just really going to, you know, I'm going to have you go through it here. He just simply allowed what He provided the day before to be taken away. To what? To show him his heart, right? To show him what was wrong with his heart. Jonah did nothing for the gourd to appear. So is it completely right for him to be angry when it goes away? Right? Does he have any leg to stand on to say, God, but that was mine? Well, God's like, but I gave it to you. Yeah, what does Job say in Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 22? Right? Somebody flip over there real quick and read that. I don't have a lot of verses, but you guys are like, we don't ever turn, because I'm usually in a huge hurry, and I still am. Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. So we understand what happens to Job. God allows Satan to basically have his way with him. And he's just like, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan's like, yeah, but you won't let me. And God's like, you know what? I tell you what, you can do whatever you want to him. You just can't kill him. That's basically what God tells Satan. And Satan's like, all right, I'll get this guy to turn from you, right? Because that's basically the story. But anyway, we understand that a lot of things happen. You know, Jonah loses his kids, Job loses his kids. He loses all of his stuff, right? He would have been better off if he would have lost his wife, but instead she tells him to curse God and die. That's like even worse. But anyway, it gets to the end of this thing, and in verse 20 it says, then Job arose, and he rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now I understand there's going to be some things that happen in your life that seem like, why would God allow that? And I don't have the answer sometimes. But you know what? God provided it all in the first place. And so He's trying to show you, He's trying to grow you, whatever it is. Jonah did absolutely nothing for the gourd. So is he even in a little bit of the right state of mind to be like, well, now you've taken away what was mine. And God's like, but was it really yours in the first place? You know, I'm trying to teach you something. So I guess my question for you is, what is the gourd in your life that the Lord has sent a worm to take away? Or better yet, that the Lord needs to send a worm to take away. What is it in your life, right? In our life, it never seems like a good thing when God brings trying circumstances, right? If it happens to us, we're like, why is God allowing this? Why is this happening? Wouldn't it be just easier? I could serve God better. We can fill in the blank with all the things. And we tell, in our life, if God brings a trying circumstance, we're like, why does this happen? So why, when we read it about in Jonah's life, do we think, well, yeah, maybe Jonah should get his priorities straight and things would be fine? Well, I don't know. Why do we? It's really easy to see in somebody else's life, yeah, God's allowing that for you to grow up a little bit. It happens in our life, and it's like, oh my gosh, why would God allow this? right? Can you believe that this is happening? But in somebody else's life, it's really easy to be, yeah, I can, it's pretty easy to see what's going on here, right? You know, there's, it's kind of like the mote and the beam in the Gospels, right? It's really easy to point out the little speck in your brother's eye. You got a stick hanging out of yours, and you, how are you even able to judge? Stop worrying about everybody else. The point is, if God is allowing a trying circumstance in your life, maybe ask Him why. Maybe ask Him, what is He trying to show you? God allows trying circumstances in your life to remind you who's actually God and to help you keep your priorities straight. Paige and I were talking yesterday. I don't even remember what the context was, but we were talking about when we were young in the Lord. And we were just young. I said this earlier. We were young in the Lord. We had kids. What do you?
I was trying to recall the conversation.
Oh, anyway, we had kids that were young and everything we did. And there were times that God allowed things in our life that helped us grow through some things. Right? And so one of those would have been, we didn't have like any money. We were super young, right? We were broke as broke could be. I don't know how we were able to make the house payment. It was, I know how. God inevitably every time would throw a side job right in the right time, you know, just to make ends meet and whatnot. But anyway, through that, we had to realize that, oh, we can't have all the things, right? We can't just have DirecTV and we can't just have this and we can't just have that. We can't have all the things that we think we want or we think that we deserve. And so God, looking back, it was easy to see God allowed those things in our life. He allowed us to be broke. Why? To remove some vices that were in our life. You know, one of them was, you know, TV. We used to sit around and watch TV, you know, all the time. And now, like, the only time that we have TV is we watch football. And, you know, you could say that that's a vice, and maybe it is. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, like, God allowed that in our life so that He could remove some things. Like, we didn't have money to go and do, or to go and, you know, do the things that we shouldn't be doing, or this, that, or the other. God will allow some things. And looking back, you know, at the time it was like, well, this is the worst thing ever. We don't get to do this and we don't get to do that. But looking back, it's like, did we really need those things in the first place? It was all a waste of time anyway. And when we didn't have money, so what did we start doing? We started getting in the ministry because, you know what? It was free to come to church, right? So we did. We were here all the time. We were in all the, we did all the ministry, you know, we went on mission trips and you're like, well, that costs money too. I'm telling you, the first trip I ever went on, I signed up and it didn't have a dime to my name, right? And there was a person, they were like, you know, cause I was debating on it. And I'm like, we just don't have the money. And he's like, do you trust God to provide? I'm like, fine, I do. And so I signed up and all of a sudden the trip was paid for, right? And it's just like, God has a way of doing those things. Now I'm not saying don't count the cost before you do things. God has a way of providing things. But anyway, what I'm saying is sometimes God will allow circumstances in your life that seem terrible, right? How are we supposed to raise kids with no money? How are we supposed to do this? And that's just one example. What I'm saying, maybe God's trying to weed some things out of your life. And you know what? We couldn't afford to do it, so we didn't do it. And come to find out, we didn't need it anyway. We didn't have to have it. And so sometimes God will allow what seems like a trying circumstance to, hey, maybe show you that I have a bigger plan than just whatever you think is going on. So anyway, so again, I'll ask you, what is it in your life? What is the gourd in your life that God has sent or needs to send a worm to take away? Because I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'll be honest with you. Some of you guys, like, I pray for the Passpoint class in general. I pray that God blesses the heck out of you guys. But I'll be completely honest. There's times that I pray that God allows trying circumstances in your lives because I know that it's for your betterment. I do, and I believe it's for your betterment. So if you think that I'm just praying that everything's good and great, so next time things go bad in your life and you're like, oh, why did that happen? Well, it's my fault. What?
It's your fault.
Yeah, it is. It's my fault. Right? I prayed for it. I pray for your growth is what I pray for. That's what I pray for you guys to be more like Christ. And sometimes, you know what that looks like? It looks like suffering. Right? And I'm not ever praying for you guys to suffer. That's not what I'm saying. But I am praying that sometimes God will use whatever. We've prayed this for our own kids at times. God, use whatever means it takes to get a hold of their life. And that's a hard thing to pray about your kids. And I promise it's not much easier to pray that just for the Passpoint class. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's what needs to happen. God needs to get a hold of your life. And whatever that looks like, whatever that takes. And anyway, I'm not going to get into that. So, there's two ways that people react to trying circumstances. They either see God in it and they choose to learn and they choose to grow, or they get bitter because they only see themselves in the situation, not how God would like to grow them through it. And so you get to decide. Like, again, I told you earlier, you get to decide. You have a trying circumstance in your life. I'm not even talking about the third thing yet. You got a trying circumstance in your life. You get to decide. Am I going to see God in it and am I going to grow? Or am I going to get bitter and just throw a fit and not see what God's trying to do? And then the last thing, I want to get done here. So God allows blessing. God allows trying circumstances. But then in verse 8, things change a little bit. It's no longer just taking the gourd away. This is what we would call chastisement. Right? This is what we call, it says God prepared a vehement east wind. It doesn't say that God prepared a wind. It's a vehement east wind. And then it says that he allows the sun to just like blaze down on this guy. He's like, fine, if this is the road you want to take, Jonah, let's walk. Right? If this is the road that you want to go down, I'll go with you. Right? If this is how you want to be, let's see what happens. Jonah has now went from training to reproof. Right? Is what we would call in the New Testament. We're no longer training our children. You missed the training. And so now it's time for a spanking. And then we'll come back to the training. That's what happens. Instead of seeing God in the entire situation, from the very beginning to now, he only has seen himself. So now God's not simply trying him, but he's chastising him. That's what it says in verse 8. It says that, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon his head so that Jonah he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. He's just bitter. It's in times like these that God's not trying to punish you. Don't ever think that God's just here to punish you. But instead, he's really trying to get your attention any way he can. Right? At some point, a car wreck is better than an overdose. So, you know, and whatever it is. Like, you know, he's like, hey, if I got to break your legs for you to realize that going down the road that you're going down is going to kill you, then maybe I will. Right? And you can fill in the blank with whatever. I don't know. What I'm saying is, at some point, he for your betterment, he'll allow some things. And not just allow them, he'll even appoint them. Because he's trying to get your attention any way he can. God will never jump straight to chastisement, by the way. Okay? So if you're somebody that's like, why is God always on my case? Okay, God will never jump straight to chastisement. So if this is where you find yourself, it's because you didn't heed to the trying circumstance that he sent you first. Right? You didn't heed to that. But let's get to the point, because I'm out of time, and this is where I really wanted to get to. Because somebody needs to hear this. I need to hear this. We've all experienced, I'm guessing everyone in here at some point or another has experienced God's chastisement in your life. But the question is, how did you respond to it? Like, what did you do about it? How did you grow from it? Are we like Jonah? We would just rather quit. We'd rather walk away from Christ, walk away from the church. If that's how it's going to be, then I don't want nothing to do with it. You know, I'm just going to quit the ministry. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit it. Or would you rather die than grow? Right? Would you rather die than grow? Or did you choose to be simply obedient and grow up a little bit? Yeah, God, I get it. That hurt a little bit. I see what you're doing. I probably ought to get straight, because if not, it's going to turn bad. Right? Let me tell you something. You're not a victim to the circumstance. You're just not. You get to decide if you're going to obey or not. You get to choose. You might say, you don't understand. I've got this going against me and this going against me. How am I supposed to live like Christ? There's no way that I can do that. You're not a victim of the circumstance. Most of the circumstances are like that because you chose to get there. And now this is where you're at. So you get to choose what you're going to do. Are you going to give God the glory in the circumstance? Are you going to give God the glory in the pile of, you know? Or are you going to say, you know what? I quit. I can't do this. There's no way that God can expect this out of me. I'm just telling you, when you accepted Christ, there was an exchange, right? You took, you know, the blood of Christ, the perfection of Christ, and he took all of your sin, okay? So you know what that means? That means that you are a debtor. The least that you can do is give him everything, right? You didn't take the blood of Christ so you could continue to live in sin that grace may abound. Paul says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you're dead to sin, then why do you continually go back to it? Like a dog returns to his vomit. Why do you continually just fall back into it? You know why? Because you don't want to be obedient. Because you don't really care about what God says for your life. You only want to do what you want to do. And when it comes to do something hard, you're like, I don't want to. I just don't want to do that. It's too hard. That you don't understand my circumstance. Now, I do understand your circumstances. I also understand that most of your circumstances are because of your choices. And the ones that aren't because of your choices, God's allowing because he's trying to get through your thick skull that, hey, I need some glory from this. And at some point, are you going to choose me or are you going to continue to choose you? Like, that's what he's telling Jonah. And I read this and I'm like, hey, that's kind of what he's telling me, right? I go through it and I'm like, why does it seem like everything's so stinking hard sometimes? And God's like, I don't know. Why is it like that, Jason? I'm like, oh, but I don't want to do that because that's hard, right? You're not a victim to the circumstance. You get to decide if you're going to obey, right? You didn't get saved and then just like, oh, well, things are just done now. If that was the case, he would have raptured you out of here then. But guess what? He didn't. And the fact that you still got breath in your lungs tells me that God isn't completely done with you. So at some point, you've got to decide, am I going to be obedient? Am I going to do what God called me to do? Or am I going to live like Jonah? Where's my gourd? I'm just so mad. God, where's my blessing? Some of us, we've made the choice to die in our circumstance. Like, I'll just be honest. We've made the choice that I would rather die in my circumstance rather than obey and submit to Christ. Why? Because it's hard? Because it's going to require you to give some stuff up? Because you're going to have to, oh, wait a minute. It says in the New Testament, you're going to have to die to self. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, actually. Because you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is, right? Come on. Like, it's not yours anyway anymore. You chose to give it to him, right? You didn't just get Christ. Sometimes we forget the transaction that happened. We're like, yes, I'm all about that. Get into heaven free. Yeah, you get that. But you know what you did in turn? You gave him the other stuff. So you can't keep back the sinful lifestyle. You can't keep back the self-righteousness. You can't keep back all the things that I like to do and then expect God to just completely rain blessings on your life. Guess what? You're going to live a life full of chastisement and you're probably going to choose to walk away. Or you're going to choose to not be like Jonah. Because remember, carnality is a choice. So too often we walk around like these bitter, carnal Christians, and I'm just like, man, you're just choosing to be that way. You know, we've talked to people that they've went through some stuff, right? Some stuff. And you know what? You get to decide, what are you going to do about it? Maybe God allowed some things in your life. Because why? Because your heart was broken first. You know, you were in the broken spot first. I think of a circumstance just very vivid in my mind. And, you know, it seemed like everything was doing the right thing, but there was this major sin issue, right? There was a major idolatry issue. And then God, you know what? He allowed, he didn't appoint it, but maybe he allowed a big thing to happen to show you that, hey, I need to be Lord. And if this is what it took to get your attention, like, sorry, not sorry. But I have to sit on the throne of your life, not you. You know, carnality is a choice. And I'm not saying that any of you in here, I'm not like, this was not to any one person. But what I'm saying is when I read through this and like God's allowing Jonah to go through these things. And actually he appointed some things, right? And you know what I don't need in my life? A vehement east wind. Right? I'll take the sunshine. Maybe not the hot sunshine, but you know, it's not Burger King. I can't have it my way. So, you know, I don't need a vehement, I don't need God's chastisement in my life. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be like, okay, God, what is it? What is it you want me to do? Yeah, that's going to be hard. Yeah, I'm going to have to give some things up. I'm probably going to have to give up some of my, you know, cushy lifestyles. But that's not what I'm here for anyway. God has called me to be more. And he's called you to be more. At some point, you have to decide, am I going to simply obey? Because if you're obedient, man, God can, he can use you. But if you're not obedient, then God can't really use you. Right? Because you're only doing what you want to do. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, you're good to us. And man, I really wish the book of Jonah was a little easier to digest at the end. But man, even to the very end, Lord, you're just, you're really trying to show us some things. And Jonah is a picture of a carnal Christian. And God, I pray that these things aren't hitting so hard in our lives because we're carnal Christians. Lord, I pray that we are just sold out for you. We do understand the transaction that took place in our hearts and in our lives, and that we are ready to lay it all down if that's what you called us to do. And you know that, Lord, that doesn't mean that we can't have anything, but it does mean that if we have things that we're putting before you, then well, then maybe that's a problem. So Lord, I pray that you would convict us, that you would allow us to just be grateful for the blessings that you do give us, and that we would heed, you know, the light things before it comes to chastisement. And if it does come to that, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient and turn to you. God, I pray that you would send us out as lights in a dark world, convict us, try us, allow us to be more like you so that we can get the gospel to everybody that needs it while there's still time. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.